The Kant Glacier near Petersburg is the southernmost tidewater glacier in the Northern Hemisphere. Tidewater meaning it calves giant ice blocks directly into the ocean. It's that interaction between the ice mass and the warmer ocean water that's the focus of the latest research at LeConte. Roman Motyka is a research professor emeritus with the University of Alaska's Geophysical Institute. He's based in Juneau and is also affiliated with the University of Alaska Southeast. He points to a 2003 paper he worked on that looked at how the ocean impacts a tidewater glacier.
Up until then, the effects of ocean on fronts of tidewater glaciers hadn't been really appreciated. And through our work there, we discovered that submarine melting, at least seasonally, was a very significant factor in controlling the glacier's position and in a significant factor in a glacier's overall mass balance. That means its budget, how much ice is lost versus how much ice is gained at a glacier.
In 2015, his team, comprised of scientists from multiple universities and different disciplines, landed funding from the National Science Foundation for the research. That work started this year with scientists out setting buoys in the bay and installations on the glacier in April. Then in August, Motyka says 15 to 20 people spent 10 days taking measurements in the fjord and right along the face of the calving glacier. Scientists are focusing on rain and meltwater that's discharged from the ice into the ocean. He explains that rain enters the glacier and forms rivers inside the ice, combining with meltwater and flowing out of the ice into the ocean below the surface. That cold freshwater is less dense than the ocean water, and it shoots to the surface, sending the relatively warmer salt water down to the base of the ice mass.
So all this subglacial discharge causes a buoyant plume to rise along the face of the glacier. It draws in the salt, warm salt water, causes melting. That undercuts the glacier, which enhances calving, so the upper part of it no longer supports it. It calves off. And causes the glacier to start retreating back.
The glacier's face is a dynamic and dangerous place. Blocks of the ice the size of city buildings are constantly falling into the water or shooting up from underneath the surface, sending huge waves out into the bay. To get into that area safely, researchers are using remotely operated motorized kayaks designed by one of the project's other collaborators, Jonathan Nash of Oregon State University. Those kayaks are able to gather data on water conditions and positioning of the ice. The scientists are also getting underwater images of the ice mass. Motyka says two other researchers on the project, Dan Duncan from the University of Texas and David Sutherland from the University of Oregon, masterminded the use of what's called a multi-beam survey, pointing it toward the glacier's face underwater.
When we imaged it, you can actually see the grottos or the caverns or the caves where the subglacial discharge was coming out from. And these are like 50 to 100 meters wide and that high. So that much water was coming out and carving out these caves by bringing in this warmer, saltier water.
The scientists are trying to understand the exact dynamics at the glacier's face. That means how the upwelling fresh water impacts the ice and calving, as well as what that heat transfer looks like from a cold ice mass to relatively warmer ocean water. Motyka says the study will produce direct measurements of the melt rate at the glacier's face. That will help with predictions about when this ice mass will retreat further. The information could also be applied to other tidewater glaciers and how they're expected to continue melting, and it could be used to predict rising ocean levels.
What we are concerned about is with increased atmospheric warming. That means we're going to introduce more meltwater into the system, maybe increased precipitation. And with ocean warming, we know the ocean's been warming also, that's going to increase this process and destabilize these glaciers. And we've seen that happen now in Greenland at a couple of glaciers. And it may be again happening here at LeConte Glacier. We don't know. We'll see at the course of our study.
Motyka explains that LeConte is a good subject to study because it's accessible throughout the year, unlike glaciers in Greenland or Antarctica. The position of this glacier's face has remained relatively in the same spot for the past decade and a half. That's likely because it's in a narrower and shallower part of the fjord, where it's not losing as much ice. But Motyka expects that could change.
The fear is that once it gets past that constriction, it really opens up behind it and it's much deeper back there. We know that from measurements of ice thickness that we made back there, that it could go catastrophically. It'll find itself in deeper water, become more buoyant, and the calving process will be a runaway process.
LeConte retreated more than a mile during the mid-1990s. Motyka is hoping that a similar retreat does not happen again during this research. Scientists will be returning to the bay three times next year, one each in the spring, summer, and fall. After that, it will be time to sift through all the data and publish the results. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Wicknicki.